Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online at wdiy.org. You have the capability of streaming live. I did that last week myself for the Thursday night show. So that is available. And also at that website are podcasts of prior shows. You just go to the local programming tab and scroll down for your financial choices and you will come upon all the podcasts of shows that we've done in the past. So again, that's at wdiy.org. Good evening, everyone. Today is Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. The markets were down today with the Dow closing at 25,201, the NASDAQ at 76.95, and the S&P at 27.75. Also today, the Fed raised short-term interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point, indicating two more hikes through 2018. Our topic tonight is family financial conversations, how and what to discuss. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810, and email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So again, that number, live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just call in and give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. That number is 610-758-8810. So family financial conversations. Let me set kind of a little outline for this. We're going to talk about the why, when, who, what, where, and how of having these family financial conversations. I haven't dedicated a show to this topic in some time, and recent conversations with clients prompted me to do it now. And what happened is I get questions like, supposedly my parents have a trust, but I don't know anything about it, but I'm the trustee. supposedly there's a trust that I'm the beneficiary of, but I don't have any idea of how much that is or what it is, and I don't want to ask my parents. So those are the kinds of things I'm hearing sometimes for clients, and I thought it might be worthwhile to figure out a gentle way that we can have these conversations, and in particular, the parents or grandparents who are doing their own estate planning. How do you have conversations to kind of communicate this to your children as well, your adult children, without disclosing too much? So we're going to talk about that. I have wondered, why do we find it so difficult to talk to our loved ones about financial topics? So just reflect on that for a minute. Why do we find that it's so difficult to talk to our loved ones about financial topics? In some ways, I think it's the same reason we don't talk about estate planning and don't do it. Because the reason we have to kind of have these conversations is typically because in case something happens to us, and many of us don't like to think about, oh, something bad could happen. And I told someone once, I think every day I could die, And someone said, oh, that's so morbid. And I said, no, it's actually quite empowering, because if you think about it every day, you hopefully are making better decisions, choices, telling your family and your loved ones that you love them, and living your life to the fullest each day that you can. But it's also about taking care of business each day. You know, if you leave your desk at work and you know, gosh, if something happens to me, you know, buddy across the hall is going to have to take care of this, you kind of work and operate a little bit differently. And so we have to face kind of our mortality. And I think that once we do that, as the scene in Moonstruck, where Olympia Dukakis says to Vincent, I don't remember his name, her husband in the movie, says, you know, we're all going to die. So if we think about what do we need to take care of in case something happens, a lot of times it doesn't happen. At least it doesn't happen for a long time. So let's talk about ways that we can do this kind of in a safe way. I think another thing that keeps people from communicating and talking about things of a financial nature is maybe you don't want to disclose all of your financial information. And you don't need to. There are lots of ways to talk around your financial situation without disclosing everything to your kids. So in trying to have these talks with our family members, I came upon a brochure that I want to start with. And basically, I want to start at the end and the end of life, that is. And financial conversations typically can also lead to the end of life conversations. So, you know, mom and dad, are you going to have enough money to go into that nursing home? Mom and dad, what's going to happen to your finances if something happens to you? Who's going to help you with that? So a lot of those conversations that we're having, we might be having a little bit later about what's going to happen to mom and dad. A client recently told me that she was going through something with her grandmother. And so she said to her parents, gosh, you know, we're worrying about grandma and look at all the decision making that has to go on. And grandma doesn't have the capacity to help in that decision making anymore. Hey, that reminds me, mom and dad, what are you guys doing? Maybe we need to have this conversation. And I couldn't help but laughing. Her parents, she said, what's your plan, mom and dad, for your, you know, late in life caretaking if something happens? And she said her parents told her that they plan to drive their boat out into the ocean. And her question was, well, who's going to drive the boat if you can't? So I thought that was kind of funny. And I pictured her, you know, pushing her parents off the boat. But the same thing kind of happens to your finances, though. Who's going to take care of your finances if you can't? So going back to this end of life, there's a website that is, get this, N for Nancy, number 4, so N4A.org, N4A.org, which provides information about having conversations with your aging loved ones to make sure that you have the conversations that are needed for their care. And there's a brochure on that website titled Let's Talk that takes you through starting those conversations about health, legal, financial, and end-of-life issues. It provides a lot of guidance, and it was co-founded by a Pulitzer Prize winner named Ellen Goodman, and it was launched in collaboration with the Institute for Healthcare Improvement and supported by the Cambia Health Foundation. And I believe this Ellen Goodman is a woman that I saw many, many years ago, but this brochure, I think, kind of helps set the stage for this conversation tonight that we are having with our listeners. And the brochure is called Let's Talk, Starting the Conversation About Health, Legal, Financial, and End-of-Life Issues. And it also references an elder care locator connecting you to community services. But as I look at this brochure, so many of the tips for having these conversations about this late in life type of conversation is applicable to even having conversations about your financial situation. So I'm just going to touch on some of these things because I think it's important to share, because I think this was pretty cool. There was another website that helps you learn more about beginning these conversations about end-of-life care, and it's called the Conversation Project, and the website itself is theconversationproject.org, which offers a conversation starter kit for guidance. And additionally, you can learn more about what community resources may be of assistance to older adults, caregivers, and their families before or after communicating with loved ones from your local area agency on aging. So there's an additional website called Elder Care for Elder Care Locator, and it's eldercare.gov. So a couple good websites, theconversationproject.org and eldercare.gov, to help beginning those conversations about end of life. But more importantly, in this brochure called the Let's Talk, there are topics of why is it important to have the conversation with loved ones, preparing for the conversation, starting the conversation, conversation reminders, what to talk about, legal terminology, keep the conversation going, community resources. So I'm going to touch on a few of these things before I further delve into the why, when, who, what, where, and how of having these conversations. So when we get back, I'm going to go through that brochure a little bit. But if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. WDIY thanks
its attention, beer lovers. WDIY's Homebrew Fest is back. WDIY is proud to present our third annual Homebrew Fest, an afternoon of beer tasting and music featuring over 40 handcrafted beers from the Lehigh Valley's best homebrewers. Saturday, June 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Ice House in Bethlehem. Discounted early bird tickets are available now for a limited time. Get your tickets today at WDIY.org. Cheers.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about family financial conversations. The phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. So let me, as I mentioned, start at the end with this brochure, The End of Life, Let's Talk, because so much of this is applicable for financial conversations as well. So the brochure goes over why is it important to have the conversation with loved ones. And it says initiating conversations about health, legal, financial, and end-of-life issues may be difficult for you and your loved ones, but having these conversations will ensure that a plan is created that accurately reflects your wishes and prepares and engages those who you love. That was something my client had mentioned. She said here, she felt bad that with her grandmother now, she didn't feel that she quite had the capacity to be as involved in her own decision making. And my client herself said, hey, I want to be involved in where I'm going. I want to be the one who decides what kind of home I want to go into or where it's located. And I thought that was really powerful. And she's a young woman. So if we have our young millennials thinking of these things, then I would hope that as we're aging, we are also taking responsibility for having these conversations and kind of owning up to what we need to do. This brochure, I believe, is of that perspective, that this is typically from the perspective of someone who's moved on in age, maybe in their twilight years, and encouraging them to have these kinds of conversations. That's the perspective. But I also, as I go through the show, want to talk about the perspective of you, maybe young adults, middle age, having these conversations with those elderly, either parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever you might have been asked to be responsible in some capacity for their financial caregiving or medical caregiving, whatever it might be later in life. All right. So they talk about preparing for the conversation, about making sure that you're ready to think about what direction that conversation is going to go. Maybe you need to write notes, write it down to probably maybe stay on track, maybe to make sure that your wishes are fulfilled the way you want them while you still have clarity and capacity. I know that as we age, sometimes we have moments where we get confused or we forget. So in those moments where we do have clarity, maybe that is the time to gather this information and write it down to make sure that whoever is going to help fulfill our wishes is of the understanding of what it was that you wanted. It goes on to say these conversations may reveal that you and your loved ones disagree on some things. I've heard conversations or, you know, input from clients where they might have children who would totally pull the plug if the parents said, hey, pull the plug. I just, you know, I don't want to live as a vegetable or whatever it might be. And then another child would say, yes, I'm going to follow mom and dad's wishes. So that comes into play when you're trying to navigate who is going to handle your healthcare kind of decision. So you want to make sure you go through that. Well, in this same capacity, that same thought process might be that you would have one who will help fulfill your healthcare wishes, and the other one might not, but the one who might not be up to that might be up to handling your financial affairs. So you really want to navigate and think about who is taking on which role and what responsibility you want them to have. And this is all part of that process. So you're kind of doing your homework ahead of time before you have these conversations. And understanding the reasons why you might be choosing one child or one neighbor or trusted advisor or whoever it might be to be involved in these decisions. If you understand that, then part of that conversation you would have in talking to your adult children would be the whys. Because quite often, I think sometimes parents are afraid to tell their children, you know, I don't want you to handle the finances because you've pretty much screwed up your own. Well, then there's a nice way to say that, but there might be a reason then you would say, hey, you know, Bobby, I want you to be my healthcare director because I know you understand my outlook on, you know, extensive measures and keeping me alive. So I really want you to be there for me, to be that sound voice in making those final decisions, whether we pursue, you know, additional medical, whatever. But hey, Bobby, you know what? Susie's really done a good job with her finances, and I've relied on her for advice in the past. And so we're going to have Susie do the financial, just so you understand. If you go through that, then that makes those conversations or those situations, if you hadn't had those conversations, a little bit more manageable for the people who are left to handle the decision making. And that could be when maybe you're incapacitated or when you're gone. If everyone kind of knows their role, it kind of helps in moving forward with whatever needs to be done in your situation. All right. What else? Talking about the basic aspects of the conversation may also be helpful. Select a time to talk. Holidays, family get-togethers, other special occasions are all times when family and friends gather together, presenting an opportunity to include many of your loved ones in these conversations. So, you know, I've mentioned that on the show before, too. Usually around the holidays, that's when I typically think about having these shows or referring to having these family conversations, is what a great time to get together. People are already there to have these conversations. You know, if you don't feel you could have this conversation on your own, you could talk to your financial advisor, you could talk to your attorney, or talk to that trusted family member to say, you know, maybe I am not the person to kind of bring everyone together and MC the conversation or be the you know, the person who's kind of managing the meeting. You can have someone else do it if you're not up for that. So There could be a family meeting. You could have an agenda that keeps you on track. It's amazing what comes out during family meetings, little sensitivities. Maybe it's important for the parents to kind of expose some of that, either to the advisors or for the children, to understand where there might be sensitivities. Again, so if one child's not going to do the health care the way you want, the other one sees that this is something really so important to you that you have to have these conversations. And the same thing happens around the financial. So if you're not able to have that kind of, on a regular basis and you need to do it at a family meeting, holidays, family get-togethers is a great time to make that happen. But give everybody a heads up too. I think that's important that they know that this is serious and it's important to you and that you want to control it. All right. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about having conversations with your family about their finances. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about having family financial conversations and referencing to a brochure that I found. But I first want to throw in a little comment about last week. We had Girish Sood, a mentor at Lehigh Valley SCORE, on the show, and we talked about this free service available for people who are starting a business, transitioning their business, ending a business, whatever it might be, to help mentor them. Lots of resources available through their website, lehighvalley.score.org. And Girish had mentioned that they also have seminars and other resources on the website. And you can find more out about that at their website that I just mentioned, lehighvalley.score.org. But they also have a seminar coming up Tuesday, June 26th. So we thought we would mention that. And the seminar is Who is Your Competition? Who are your clients? And they describe it as you have your great idea to start a business, or you have a great business that you started, but who is your local or national competition and where are the clients you need to reach? Hugh Kelly of Lehigh Valley SCORE will explain how to find and use industry research for your small business. And it's at First Commonwealth Federal Credit Union. So more information on that on their website. But I thought I would mention that because I think this is a great service in the community, Lehigh Valley SCORE. And I want to make sure that our listeners are aware of all that they have to offer. So thanks for that. Folks, again, if you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. Lori can write down the question and bring it in to me. So let's talk a little bit more about this brochure, only because I think it helps give a bunch of great ideas for starting the conversation, not only about, kind of end-of-life issues, but financial issues in general. And that's the idea, to have conversations about your finances with your family, loved ones, trusted advisors, while you still can, basically. So starting the conversation, ease into it, share a story, I need your help with something, ask for help with planning for their future. I just answered some questions about how I want to end my and the end of my life to be. I want you to see my answers. I'm wondering what your answers would be. They also have reminders about being patient, don't judge, nothing set in stone, and attempting to have the conversation might be the first step if you find that other people aren't going to want to engage. Because that could be a problem as well, folks. If you're trying to have a conversation and your kids just are in denial and don't want to talk about you getting older or you're getting to that age, I know I would be in denial about my mother, 88, because she's almost 88. Because she's adorable and I love her so much that you, sometimes you want in denial and you think, gosh, we're not going to talk about that. But that really isn't helping anyone. And generally, these are conversations that family members do want to have. They're just afraid to have them. So you have to figure out how to bridge that. There are resources, as I mentioned, the Conversation Starter Kit. That is at theconversationproject.org. There are some other resources that they mention. Aging with Dignity, it's agingwithdignity.org. And then Take Charge of Your Life, again, that website, takechargeofyourlife.org. So what to talk about? You could talk about health issues, legal. This brochure has legal terminology, which I think a lot of people get confused on, financial end-of-life issues. So let me go into real quick with the health. I'm just going to hit on a few things. Be aware of health conditions, location of useful health information. Last year, my family went through a family member's illness and passing, and it was a surprise to learn that there was a health condition that he felt he could not share. And when it became, obvious that this was not going well, his health, he then did have to share because now he was relying on family members to help provide care for him and intimate care as well. And so if you don't feel comfortable sharing, how can you get to that point? It's important to know. It could make a difference in the caregiving that's being given. It could make a difference in the medication that, someone might have to have in their home to provide to the patient. Medical records, if you end up having to go to an emergency room and your loved one isn't capable of answering questions that might be very important to the care they would get in an emergency situation. These are things that you have to know. You have to share with someone. So it could include medical records, Medicare ID cards, insurance policies, the living will, durable power of attorney for healthcare. These are in situations where the patient themselves cannot speak, because if the patient can speak themselves, then that is going to overrule anything that probably that healthcare power of attorney would provide. And again, especially a list of medications someone's taking, their dosage, maybe even the cost, or where do they get their prescriptions, that type of thing. Legal, that's where you want to make sure that you know will, trust, healthcare power of attorney, and I'll talk more about all that in a little bit. There was something else in this brochure they were talking about. Health and financial decisions, legal tools for preserving your personal autonomy, consumer's toolkit for healthcare and advanced planning. That looks like there might be some information at this www.abanet.org/aging. Again, about the legal terminology as well. So financial, when having legal health or end-of-life conversations with loved ones, you should, of course, understand where all their legal information and financial information might be. So where is their birth certificate, social security card, life insurance policy, long-term care insurance, mortgages, rental documents, bills, utility bills, car insurance, title, bank records, credit cards, passwords to online accounts. This is a big, big problem. List of assets and debts, list of household bills, federal and state tax returns, bank information, financial planner information, attorney, power of attorney. The reason this is important is because, again, if for some reason you lose capacity, maybe you were in a car accident, maybe you had surgery and you didn't recover the way they expected, this information is going to be important because you might have bills that don't get paid. And what happens if you don't pay your medical insurance? What happens if you don't pay your utility bills? Someone needs to know what that needs to be paid. And how are they being paid? Are they being paid automatic debit, you know, through your bank account, direct debit? Are they being paid through your checkbook? Do you have it directly being paid by your credit card? Some people have automatic payments through their credit card, sometimes automatically through the bank account. So you really need to make sure that you have that documented somewhere and that someone knows about it. So this is financial information, just kind of the general day-to-day stuff. I'm not even talking about the assets and liabilities yet. This is just the day-to-day information that really needs to be captured somewhere. Requires a little homework on your part, maybe. Some folks are very, very organized and have it all ready. I have one client who tells me he has a book, and whenever he goes on vacation or leaves, he has the book and the book goes out on the desk. I mean, that's perfect. The book goes out. If anything happens, it's all there. Someone knows. So you want to get your stuff in order. We're going to talk a little bit more about the when, the who, the what, the where, the how when we come back. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. WDIY thanks its members and Valley.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 73. On Thursday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 83. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 57. Friday, sunny with a high near 79. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 57. Saturday is going to be sunny with the high near 86. And Saturday night, low around 64. Sunday, sunny, high near 87. And Sunday night, cloudy with a low around 70. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or off air if you're not comfortable. Again, 610-758-8810. And you can also email questions through your financial choices, and I'll respond to those when I have some time to do so. So that brochure, great resource. That was available, where did I say, at the Conversation Starter Kit, theconversationproject.org. And the website was, I believe, n4a.org. So N as in Nancy, 4a.org. Let's talk a little bit more about the why. There's nothing more frustrating than miscommunication. And where have I seen miscommunication? Well, there is sometimes miscommunication, not just between us as parents with our children, but with our spouses. So let's start there first about having these family financial conversations. Let's start first with our partners. Some of the conversations might be that one has the understanding and the other doesn't. And maybe you like it that way. Maybe you really don't want to be bothered because you get overwhelmed by it. But the conversation should be, you know what? I get overwhelmed by it. I really don't want to do it. But boy, I better have some familiarity with it. So if I am the non-financial spouse, I need to maybe say to my financial spouse, hey, is there a chance that we could sit down and just kind of go through this? Maybe we could come up with a book that if something happens, I can go to that book. So that could be between partners, not just between you and your children. Now, having said that, sometimes there could be something that happens to both parents at the same time, if we're talking about parents with children, that if something happens to both of you, that book would still be important, right? So it's not always just a priority that your partner or spouse knows. It might be important that you have that should something happen to both of you as well. So you want to kind of get that in order. But most importantly, if there are two folks in the relationship, you want to make sure that the other has that information. Sometimes we're not in a partnership. Sometimes we don't have a spouse. Who is that person that we're relying on? Or we might not have children. So who is that person? Who is going to be that trusted fiduciary person responsible for kind of taking care of your financial situation and maybe your health care? If you are in a situation where you might have trusted friends who might help you with your finances, but maybe they're not going to help you pick out your assisted living home or your nursing home, then you seriously want to sit down and think about who is going to help me do that. There are a number of agencies in the area that probably would help you do that. As I mentioned, this website, this eldercare.gov, they have an elder care locator. There are facilities in the Lehigh Valley where we have apartments, caregiving communities that will help folks with this. So even if you don't have a partner or children or niece or nephew who's going to help with this, some of these organizations will do that. You just go into them and you say, hey, listen, I'm kind of on my own here. What am I going to need for future caregiving at such a time where I may not be able to make those decisions for myself? What would it take to get in your community? If this is a place that looks attractive to you, where I could be part of a community of seniors who are staying actively involved, but at such time, maybe I might not be in such good shape. Do you have a nursing facility or an assisted living facility? Do you have caregivers in the area? So you want to have those conversations when you can. So as far as healthcare goes, now as far as financial goes, do you have a trusted friend? Do you have a trusted relative? Is there a cousin? Is there a niece, a nephew? If you don't have that, there probably are some attorneys who will serve in that capacity. Many, many years ago, I think attorneys probably took a bigger role in that, where they may have agreed to serve as an executor or a trustee and perhaps a power of attorney. I think over the years, there's been less direction toward attorneys doing that, thinking there could be some kind of a conflict of interest in doing so. But in situations where you really need someone and there isn't anyone else, you can have those conversations with your attorney. They may have other attorneys that they work with or another attorney in the office who would be willing to help serve in whatever capacity might be needed. If they can't do it, there are always corporate trustees who could step in and serve as a trustee in the event that you become incapacitated. So if you have to have those kind of conversations first with yourself and then with the people around you, your attorney, your financial advisor, can help direct you with what might need to occur to have that help come seamlessly. So maybe during your life, if you're in that situation, a trust might be something that would work well for you. A trust might not be the best thing for your neighbor, but it might work very well for you, and that would be something that you could have drafted a particular trust, see how you're going to fund it, what needs to go in it, who is it going to go to after you're gone? So an attorney can help you draft that. So conversations with spouses, conversations with partners, conversations with maybe your legal team, your financial team, to kind of see what needs to be done and what direction you want to go. But I guess ultimately you have to have the conversation with yourself first. So let's talk about adult children, because that is one area that I have had heard recently where, you know, adult children were saying, you know, mom and dad aren't talking about this. So they might feel their parents are figuring it all out and they will know about it when they're gone or when they have to. But maybe you shouldn't make those assumptions. Maybe you need to have a conversation with mom and dad, and I've explained this on shows in the past, where you can say, hey, mom and dad, I'm at that point in my life where I've worked hard, I've accumulated some assets, and I realize I don't have my estate planning documents put together. What did you do when you got to this stage? Did you have a will done? And then you're going to hear a yes or a no. And if you hear them get nervous or they say no, then maybe mom and dad haven't done that kind of financial planning or estate planning that they've needed to do. That opens the door to have that conversation. So then the next statement might be, mom and dad, if you didn't do it, what are you doing? Is there something else that you've, you know, managed? Like, who's going to take care of you? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to do all that? And then you might hear, well, we made, you know, your sister joint owner on this account. Or maybe they will say, oh, don't you worry about it. We have it all together. Well, mom and dad, when you say you have it all together, what, for example, is going to happen to the house? Because now I'm a homeowner and I'm thinking, gosh, the kids are too young. What should I do with the house? Then maybe they might disclose a little bit more. So you want to find out a little bit about that. One thing that, so the why is we just don't want miscommunication, because sometimes I think that the kids might think it's going to go one direction and it might go a completely different direction. Sometimes parents think they have to name the oldest child as an executor, and maybe that's not the case, and maybe that's not the best decision. So the conversation might be with the family at the family meeting. Hey, Bobby, you know, you are the oldest, and quite often, traditionally, maybe the oldest child was named the executor or personal representative or maybe the trustee. But hey, Bobby, you live in Alaska, and that doesn't really, that might not really work, and it would be very inconvenient for you. So we're going to name Susie because she lives here in Pennsylvania, and she lives up the street from us, and she's doing a lot for us. So just so you know, no offense, Bobby, nothing against you, but we think Susie might be the better one to go with this. And, you know, Susie works at a law firm and she's a paralegal. Who knows? You know, I mean, it's or an attorney. So you want to have those kinds of conversations. One of the other things that I think that happens that we should talk about is I think that sometimes adult children might think that their parents will think they're fishing for information. And maybe you're afraid to have that conversation with your parents because you don't want them to think you can't wait for them to be gone so you can get your hands on their money. Again, that is just the wrong assumption. You might need to talk to them because what you might not know is they might need money. And maybe you're in a position where you could actually help them. What we have found sometimes is that adult children who might need help are afraid to say anything to their parents. And sometimes adult children who are doing very well assume their parents are doing well. So it could go both ways. The parents might need to have those kind of conversations because maybe they're not in such a good space. And sometimes the adult children aren't in such a good space, but the parents will make an assumption that you're doing okay when in fact maybe you need a little help. And maybe it's not because of you're spending wildly. It could be that you just came upon some hard times, whether it was, you know, you or someone else losing a job or downturn in the economy, or you had something horrible happen, you know, at your house, something like that, where it wouldn't hurt to kind of tell your parents where you are. Negative results of not having these kinds of conversations about what's going on in the family and what kind of, you know, financial stress or financial wealth that someone might have might include overspending, taking on debt, bad investment decisions, reactive financial choices, whereas the positive results might be from the family perspective of having financial security, the ability to take more risk because of additional security. With these conversations, you help move the whole family forward. I like to do planning from a family perspective, not just an individual perspective, meaning sometimes it might make sense for the family to help to do some gifting. But then how do you do that gifting? What makes sense? I had some clients tell me one night, oh, the kids don't want any more money in the college savings accounts. So what are we going to do? We want to still give them some money. Well, the kids might not know that college savings accounts can now be used for elementary and secondary education tuition as well. So it kind of, if you bring up the topic, it leads to other conversations that expose additional planning opportunities for the family. When should you have these conversations? It's never too late and it's never too soon. So you want to look for the opportunities when they present themselves, as it mentioned in that brochure around family meetings, around holidays or get-togethers. So when we come back from this next break, I want to talk a little bit more about the what, because that could be one of the fear factors. People are afraid to talk about their finances. So hopefully we can talk about little ways to tiptoe into that area to make it a little bit easier, not as scary, and not as exposed. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking about family financial conversations. If you have questions, we are live. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk, or not talk if you're off air, but you can give your question to Lori, and she can write it down if you don't want to talk live on air. We can do it off air. The number is 610-758-8810. So we talked a little bit about ways to start those conversations, ways to dip your toe in the water to having conversations, how to do that. We talked a little bit about the why, to avoid miscommunication, to assume if something happens to you at any minute, who's going to step in and take care of things. That is a pretty powerful why. It's very scary when you're all of a sudden thrust into a situation and you have no grounding for it. I'm all about making sure that people are comfortable and have all the information that they need. So to that point, that is probably one of the problems that people are afraid of, is they, you know, what does someone have and you're afraid to tell anybody. So let's talk about the what and how we can do it. So you may not need to tell anybody dollar amounts necessarily, but it is certainly important to let them know what the what is. And what the what is basically kind of an idea of, well, I call it an inventory of your cash flow, an inventory of your assets, liabilities. And in that inventory, you want to make sure that you disclose the titling of your assets and the beneficiary designation. So you want to have that inventory. Remember that book I told you my client has, he puts on the desk? It probably includes passwords to websites and things like that. But that book, I imagine, has information about the cash flow. What are the inflows of the money coming in? Where is it coming? You know, is it direct deposit into a particular bank account? Does it come in as a check in the mail does, because then you know to watch for that check. That inventory would include the assets, the titling. Is it joint? Is it transfer on death? Is it payable on death? Liabilities. How much is the liability? What's the interest rate on the liability? What's the payment? Is it monthly? Is it direct debited out of the account? Or is someone writing checks? If they're writing checks, what's the account number that you have to put on the check? Does a little bill come in the mail? Or does the invoice come online? Or do I have to log into the account to get the invoice online? These are the things that need to be documented somewhere. The titling is important as well, because if something happens to you and maybe the accounts are direct debited out of a joint account, and I had Bobby be my POA and I die now, well, the POA doesn't work anymore. Okay. But if the joint account is with Susie, and now Susie gets the joint account, and all mom's bills were getting paid out of that joint account, direct deposit, direct debit, whatever, Susie now takes over the account. Guess what? That's not going to work anymore. So you really need to know the assets, the titling, beneficiary designations, liabilities, etc. I had a call come in off air. Anne from Bethlehem said, great show, huge fan, thank you very much. Mentioned the importance of this for young people too. Many get ill or involved in accidents. Anne, thank you, because that is absolutely true. If you heard me mention that we had a family member who had an illness that led to their passing last year, it was my brother-in-law, and he was 54 years old. That's not as young as, you know, maybe a 30-year-old, but in today's longevity, it's certainly young from that perspective. So, and especially important then for those role models, those folks who are role models for, whether it's our nieces, our nephews, our children, our cousins, be a role model and talk about this more openly, then I would expect that we would have more people doing the business that they need to do and getting their financial life in order. And frankly, from my perspective, it all starts with that inventory, having that written down somewhere. So here's the fear, the what, of maybe disclosing to your son or daughter that you have, you know, $2 million. Maybe you don't want them to know that. But if you at least let them know, hey, Bobby and Susie, mom has enough assets. I'm pretty good, and you have nothing to worry about. I have enough money for my cash flow, for my retirement years, and even for any future caregiving that I may need. Maybe that $2 million is going to be enough because you're, you know, super frugal, blah, blah. Bobby and Susie, let you know, mom has a long-term care policy. So I have assets that are going to be good for me, but I also have this long-term care policy that it's important that you know if anything happens to me, that information is available in my safe deposit box or my file cabinet, or my attorney knows about it, or my financial advisor knows about it. So we can have conversations about the what without necessarily disclosing the dollars. For the most part, if these are your trusted, you know, representatives for your future, is there a reason why you wouldn't want them to know the what? Got that? If these are your trusted advisor, imagine right now you are like in big, big trouble. Something happened. Maybe you had an accident. You're going to the hospital. Pretend this. I don't like visualizing negative things. I like visualizing positive things. But in this circumstance, it results in a positive, which is you getting your life, your financial house in order. Who is that person you're going to call? And if there is that someone and they know nothing about you, don't you think it's time that they know something? At least, hey, you know, Jerry, my neighbor, I'm making this up because this is not my neighbor, but Jerry, my neighbor, is someone I really rely on. You know, I hear him talk about how well he takes care of his family. I don't really have anyone else that I could rely on. I'm thinking maybe Jerry might be someone I could rely on. Hey, you're out doing your gardening. You say, hey, Jerry, is there something I can talk to you about that's pretty important? You know, I see what you've done with your family. You're doing a great job. And I'm at a place in my life where, you know, I'm just kind of rely on myself. I don't really have family members. I'm a only child. I never married. I didn't have kids. And I need someone that I can maybe count on. And is there any chance that we could sit down at some point that you might consider being my power of attorney or my executor if I ever need it, just in case? And then you could see how they react. So until you open that door, you're not sure what you're going to be able to or have to explore with someone. And again, you can have those conversations without disclosing anything. Some people, I think, are afraid to be an executor or personal representative because they think there might be some financial liability on their part. Not necessarily. So you need to discuss that with an attorney. But there again, that's where you say, hey, Jerry, just so you know, I'm in good shape. I don't think I'm going to have any financial needs. My issue is, what if something happens to me? Who's going to know, you know, who to contact or what accounts I have or what assets I have? So can we have a conversation about that? It might be a cousin. It might be a good friend. Many people don't realize that you can kind of name any number of people or, as I mentioned earlier, corporate trustees to help you out. But the what, do your inventory, have that available. Again, not necessarily having to disclose all of the specifics of your assets, but very important for someone to know what the what is. So if something happens to you, they know if there's money coming in or if you're maybe taking money from investments. Does your financial advisor know something happened and you might need some, you know, additional funds? Who's going to help make that call for you if you're incapacitated? Does the financial institution have the power of attorney on file? Some of the financial institutions these days are very persnickety about those powers of attorney. So that would be a good question to ask. Let's say you're someone who's listening who has all this stuff in order. Maybe you need to confirm, hey, bank, I have done all my legal documents with my attorney. We have this power of attorney. I just want to make sure that if something happens to me and my son or daughter has to come in and do something for me, are you going to honor this power of attorney? Or what does that look like? Does it make sense for me to give that to you ahead of time? So you want to kind of go over that. Where? So I remember we were talking about the who, what, why, where, when. The where. The what won't be important if they don't know the where. So the what won't be important if they don't know the where. So if you're trusted representative, power of attorney, executor, trustee, whomever that is, that important financial person, if you kind of have given them an idea of the what, but they don't know where to find that information in that emergency, then that wasn't necessarily very good planning either. Do you want someone rummaging through your whole house? Did you have it on the top shelf of your closet underneath the crazy Christmas sweater? Or do you have that important information in the safe deposit box in the bank that they can't get to? Do you have it in your locked safe in your house and you didn't give the combination to anybody? Do you have it in the top left drawer of the dresser in the spare bedroom? So again, the where is as important as kind of the what. But also the where about having the conversations. Where do you have those conversations? Set some time aside to figure out where and when you're going to have those conversations with people. The how do you get this help? Well, the how is do that inventory, figure out what you have, and then sit back and say to yourself, if something happened to me today,